Hi, good morning. Good morning, all of you. So, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Daniel again, chapter 4. Oh, I'm going to have the words up here for you, okay? So, Daniel chapter 4. And I think it's always a good idea to pray before we teach God's word to make sure that we have God's strength and power at work. So let's pray. And remember, when we pray, we're talking to God, right? So we want to show great respect. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for each boy and each girl here, every adult, every child that you have created and love and desire to save and have fellowship with and walk with. And we pray, Lord, our hearts would be wide open, our ears would be wide open, and that we would take in what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So Daniel, very interesting man. But we're also going to talk about Nebuchadnezzar. Let's say that name. It's a big name. Nebuchadnezzar. Let's say it again. Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. He was a great king from long, long ago. In fact, do you know how long ago it was? There's a clue up here. How long ago is that? 600 BC. What? Saraya. Okay, 600 BC. That means one of my students asked me, Mr. Hansen, how could it be before Christ? Christ always was. Well, it was before he was born. Okay? So, because we know Christ lived before he was born, right? 600 BC would be 2,626 years ago. That's a long time ago, right? All right. He was the king of Babylon. Babylon was really one of the very first world powers. Maybe that's debatable, but it was the first of the ones in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, that God revealed would be great world powers. All right, last time we talked about Daniel 3. Tell me, what do you remember about the king? What do you remember? Anything? Yes, Dunham. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Okay, that's something that he did. What did he say? Do you remember anything he said? Okay, Dunham. Yes, yes, he was trying to force everybody to worship his false god, an idol. And there it is, right there. This idol was huge. It was like a giant recreation of him. And it was made with gold. And it was a beautiful thing. And you remember how he commanded the musicians to play beautiful music while they did this terrible thing. You know, that's really what the devil does with us too, and the world. Tries to make sin beautiful and tries to grab hearts and minds. Yeah, but you know, sin is not beautiful, is it? Sin is not beautiful. Sometimes God has to show us things to reveal to us and teach us that sin brings shame and consequences. The wonderful thing about it, though, is that God saves sinners. And God can rebuild a life of sin into something beautiful again. All right, so let's move on. So about Nebuchadnezzar, when the Hebrews did not bow down to the idol, what did the king say and do? All right, Nolan. Yep. Yeah, and what happened to this? Go ahead. Yeah. It was so hot. Yep. This was a terrible thing the king did, didn't he? Just because they wouldn't worship his idol, he flew into great anger and rage. And he just practically lost his head and control. And he said something else that was really serious. He said, "Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Do you remember that? Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? He thought he was more powerful than God. Is there any such man that's more powerful than God? What? No, no. But Nebuchadnezzar thought he was greater than God. That's a very defective thought, isn't it? A bad thought. Well, let's see what happened. So let's talk a little bit about why would this king think he was greater and stronger than God? What happened in the mind of this king? All right, according to Encyclopedia Britannica, it says, Nebuchadnezzar ruled for 56 years and was the greatest king of the Chaldean dynasty of Babylonia. He was known for military might. Nebuchadnezzar was an ancient world king who had great power over many nations and many people. Thousands and thousands of people bowed down to King Nebuchadnezzar. He had a military that could defeat any other power in the world. He was very strong, and he had great power, and he even had the power of life and death. At least he thought he did. If he said, off with your head, you'd lose your head. You wouldn't want to say anything bad about King Nebuchadnezzar, would you? Or you'd be in big trouble. Well, that was the kind of power he had. Do you think that power can make a man proud? Yep. How many of you think so? Okay. You think that power can... Yep. They say that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Power can go to a person's head. Sometimes when I was a teacher, I would see bullies, and they thought they were the great power of the playground, and they would do things, naughty things, until somebody more powerful than the bully came along. And then that was the end of the bully. You know, and Nebuchadnezzar really needed a lesson that God is more powerful. And so he learned that. I think he learned that at the fiery furnace, wouldn't you say? When he said, who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? God showed him that he was more powerful than even King Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. All right, the next thing we learn about Nebuchadnezzar is that he was rich. He was very rich. According to the history collection, Nebuchadnezzar's riches were worth $100 million today. That's a lot of money. Millions and millions and billions of dollars. And ruling the ancient world's largest empire brought great wealth. His palaces contained more gold than modern-day Fort Knox. Have you ever heard of Fort Knox? That's in Tennessee. That's where we keep our nation's treasure of gold, down there. And King Nebuchadnezzar had more gold than the United States of America. And do you know he required 3,000 workers just to keep up his palace, his house? 3,000 servants. I'll bet you some of you ladies would like to have one servant sometime, right? Well, Nebuchadnezzar had 3,000 servants. And for hunting parks, he had entire territories just for his hunting hobby. And the royal treasury employed hundreds just to count his tax income. So he was very, very rich. Would you agree he was very rich? Okay. And then, according to the history on the net, we learn about Nebuchadnezzar's wonder. He had a wonder of the world. Sometimes you've maybe heard the phrase, the seven ancient wonders of the world. Well, one of the ancient wonders of the world was Nebuchadnezzar's gardens. And he rebuilt the Tower of Babel. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? Nebuchadnezzar rebuilt it. And it was called the, I don't know if I can say this right, Entamenaki Ziggurat. And that was the ancient Tower of Babel. He rebuilt it for his glory. to make it a wonder of the world. And he had beautiful hanging gardens of Babylon. They were famous, beautiful. He built them for one of his wives. And God described Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom as a kingdom of gold. Boy, what a wealthy, rich man who built wonderful things. Could that go to a person's head and make them proud? You know, sometimes it's possible for even you and I to make things and be very proud. Look what I have made. You know what I mean? It can go to our head and suddenly we start thinking higher of ourselves than we should. Very easy to happen. Right, let's move on. Now we're going to talk about Nebuchadnezzar's pride. How many of you know what pride is right off the top of your head right now? Okay, is pride good or bad? Usually it's bad. Sometimes it's all right. You know, I mean, I might say to Erica, Erica, I'm so proud of you. Is that bad to say? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I think that's okay to say, right? But if you start thinking, well, I'm better than other people, or I do things better than you do, or I'm smarter than you are. If we start comparing ourselves to other people, is that a good thing? Nope. Nope. Or if we, yes, Logan. Yeah, yeah. That's, and if you say you're better than me, that's actually in the spirit of Philippians 2, where it says we're to regard one another as better than ourselves. That's a good thing. That would be the opposite of pride, okay? But pride is when your heart is lifted up and your spirit becomes hardened. And this is something that Daniel later on spoke about Nebuchadnezzar before God taught him a lesson. Yes, Nolan. It sure does look like it. We'd have to ask the artist, and he's not here. So I'm not sure, but I think so. Yes. Yeah, well, he's thinking, look at me, I'm so great. That's not a good thing, is it? No, that's not so great. All right, so let's read in Daniel 4:30, okay? This is really the main verse of this lesson today. Daniel 4:30 says, the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon, that was his country, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling, that's for my house, for my mighty power, and for the honor of my majesty? What kind of words and thoughts are these? In yellow. What's that? Proud ones. Anybody else have a thought?
Yes.
You have a thought?
Well, it's really a
deal. You're interesting, Jovi. All right. So, do you notice I have built my mighty power, honor of my... Is he talking about God or about himself? Himself. Yes, Saraya. Himself. You know, when we get all focused on me, we start to get into trouble, don't we? And we start thinking that we're bigger than we are, better than we are, and we start to forget about our wonderful God. All right, let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs 11:2. Why don't you read this with me, kids, okay? Let's read it together. When pride comes, then comes shame. Pride and shame go together. Do you like to be ashamed? Then don't be proud, because the two go together. Let's read another one. This is Proverbs 8:13. Let's read it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way. Pride and arrogance. I maybe this is overly simple, but I studied these two words, and pride has to do with an offensive thing toward God, and arrogance is kind of the way it comes out. So pride is an inward heart condition. Arrogance is the way it comes out. the way we act, and the way we talk. And usually when a person is lifted up in their heart, it begins to show. All right, you see these pictures up here of the kids? There's a girl, there's a boy. You see their face? Does it look like they're in a good place or a dark place? Dark place, yep. Do you know, sometimes believers can lift themselves up and brag. Do you know what bragging is? Do you kids all know what bragging is? When you talk about yourself, you think about how great you are. Okay, that's bragging, and compare ourselves to other Christians. Okay, proud believers will ignore parts of the Bible because they think they know better than God. How foolish is that? And yet it happens. I've heard people do this. They'll say, well, I don't feel convicted about that yet. Or I'd rather not talk about that right now. I don't want to think about that. And so they'll dismiss, or they'll just say, I'm not going to listen to that right now, because they think they know better than God. Proud children, I hope this is not one of you kids, proud children are disrespectful to their parents and argue and say naughty things to their parents. I hope that's nobody here. If you do those things sometimes, it's time to stop, right? And think about what I'm doing. Pray to the Lord. Ask for the Lord's help not to be that way. Yes, Tim. Yes. That's an excellent verse, Denham. I'm so glad you brought that up. That's an excellent verse. Denham, I don't know if you all heard that, but Denham quoted the verse, pride cometh before a fall. And that's true. Okay, let's move on. A proud believer does not receive God's correction easily. And that means that when God wants to help us stop being proud, a proud person doesn't want to receive that, doesn't want to listen to that. Okay? So pride is a problem. When we get our heart fixed on pride, it's almost like putting on blinders. We can't see, we can't hear what God has for us. Okay? So it's a problem. All right. So, was Nebuchadnezzar a proud believer in God? There might be a little debate on this, whether he was a believer yet, but I'll just say this. After the fiery furnace, after he learned that even his hot oven that was heated up 7 times the normal heat level, it was so hot that even his soldiers died. But he could not kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God's servants, in that fire. And he learned something that day, that God was greater than he was. He was greater than his gods that he believed in. And so he believed something about God, wouldn't you say? He even honored God. But we're going to learn that there were some more things that God wanted to teach this very proud king. God's word tells us the king's heart was lifted up, his spirit was hardened in pride, and the king learned he was not more powerful than God. But second, God wanted to teach him that pride is sin and hurts other people. So he had much to learn, and so do we. All right, we're going to start our chapter now. Time is going fast, so let's just read. This is verse, if you have your Bible open, we're reading in verses 1 through 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king wrote a letter. This was his letter to all the people in his kingdom, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to tell you the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs! How mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. All right, so here's the question. What had Nebuchadnezzar learned about God? Just look up there. Tell me, what did he learn? What did he learn about God? What does it say? What, first of all, you know, Nebuchadnezzar at this time, I think, believed in many gods. What did he learn about the God of Daniel? Saraya? Yes, he had signs and yes. Okay, Perry, were you going to say something? He's the Most High, higher than the gods that Nebuchadnezzar believed in, even though they weren't really gods at all. You thinking of something again, Jovi? Yes, and he wanted to save Nebuchadnezzar too. All right, so let's go on. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. Do you know what flourishing means? No. All right, let's just suppose that I have you kids over to our blueberry patch. We've got a rather large blueberry patch. And I give you all a pail. And you go out to the blueberry patch to collect blueberries. And you can't even find a handful out there. And you're just not putting hardly anything in your pail. Is my blueberry patch flourishing? Nope. But if I send you out there and you fill the whole pail and there's still more and more and more, and you all bring back your pails of blueberries and Grandma starts making blueberry pies so that they're all over the house and we're eating and enjoying those and then we can go get more, would you say we're flourishing in blueberries? Yes. All right. So that's the way Nebuchadnezzar was in his palace. Just look at him. He's got riches and servants, and he's just flourishing. Things seem to be going pretty well for King Nebuchadnezzar. And then he said, I saw a dream, which made me afraid. And the thoughts on my head and the visions of my head troubled me. You ever have bad dreams?
No.
You never have bad dreams? Oh, okay. All right, well, you know what? Most of us have bad dreams sometimes, but you know what? This bad dream, okay, let's save that story, okay? The Lord was actually giving Nebuchadnezzar this dream that troubled him. And therefore, the king said, I issued a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. So there was a meaning behind this dream from God. It was a very important dream for the king. And somehow the king knew that. So the wise men came in and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. Only God could give the interpretation of this dream, and the wise men did not learn the secret from God. But at last, Daniel came before me. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you. Explain to me the visions of my dreams that I have seen and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking and I saw a tree. A tree in the midst of the earth, and it was very tall. The tree grew and became strong. The height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were lovely. It was full of fruit, and it was food for all. I saw, let's back up. Okay, I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher. Do you see the watcher up there? What do you think the watcher was? No, I don't think so.
Angel?
Ellie? An angel? I think so. A holy one coming down from heaven. He cried and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts come yet out from under it and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump and the roots in the earth. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him eat with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Now, have you ever heard of a tree being called a hem? I haven't. Have you? No, it's an it, right? What do you think this dream had to do when it said, let him? What do you think? Yes. You know it pretty well, don't you? All right. Well, let's just check. It's always good to double check to see if you really know it, right? All right, let's move on. Now, even though the watcher had told Nebuchadnezzar this in the dream, he still didn't understand it. There was things about the dream that didn't make sense to him. And so Daniel listened, and the king said this. This is what the watcher told the king. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of an animal, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, probably angels, in order that the living may know that the Most High, who's that? What do you think, Sarah? Yeah, I think it may be God. Doesn't really distinguish Jesus here. Maybe God the Father, perhaps. Maybe all God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. He gives kingdoms to whoever he will and sets over it the lowest of men. So now God is starting to show the king, through the angels, through the watchers, that something is going to happen to him. Something is going to happen. And so then the king said, this dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, but now you, Daniel, tell me its interpretation. Tell me what this means. Since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able. For the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. All right, so tell me, boys and girls, what did the king understand about Daniel's wisdom? What did he know about Daniel's wisdom? Okay, all right then. Yes. Yep, very good. So he knew that Daniel's wisdom was from God. It wasn't just himself, right? If we are smart or wise, where does that come from? Perry? God. So should we be proud if we have a gift from God? No, we should give glory to God, right? And thank God. If you can play an instrument really well, thank the Lord that He helped you to play it. If you have some money in your pocket, thank the Lord for it. And use it wisely for him. If you have anything from God, thank the Lord and give him glory rather than brag or think like proud thoughts. All right, so let's move on. Then Daniel was astonished when he heard the dream, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king, actually, Daniel was afraid to answer. He understood what this dream meant. And the king actually had to say, it's all right, Daniel. You can tell me. I want to know. What does it mean? And so Daniel said, my Lord, may the dream concern your enemies. He said, this is not going to be good. I hope it happens to your enemies rather than to you. And then he said, the tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached the heavens, which could be seen in all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and full of fruit, and which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and whose branches the birds of the heaven had their nest home. It is you, O king. The king, you are the tree. You are the tree with all the branches and all the fruit, and all the animals are under your tree, and all the kingdoms of the earth bow down to you. It's you, O king. You have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominions to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump in the earth, let him eat with the animals of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the ruling of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the king. They shall drive you from men. You will live with the animals of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen until seven times, or most people think this is 7 years, until 7 years pass over you. And until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. How would you like it, Ellie, if your sisters and your brothers said, you have to go outside and eat with the chickens for 7 years? How would you like it, Nolan, if your mom and dad said, out of the house, Nolan, you have to go eat with the horses for 7 years? How would you like that? You know why they did that? Do you know why the king's men did that to him? He went crazy. God judged him, and he lost his mind, and he couldn't think straight. He started saying things that didn't make sense. He started to do silly things, foolish things, until they couldn't stand him anymore. They said, this king has to go. We've got to have somebody else rule over us. And so they drove him out into the field, into the forests, and the king acted like an animal for 7 years. He was probably happy eating grass like that because his mind was gone. What a terrible thing to have happened. Why did that happen to him? Why did God let that happen to him? Denim? Because he was proud. You know, this is a great warning to us about being proud. And God knows our hearts, doesn't he? So this was a great lesson from the Lord for a very proud king. So then Daniel said, inasmuch as the watchers gave the command to leave the stump, you remember that? The stump wasn't going to be chopped down, and the roots of the tree would remain. The command was given that way. And then he said, your kingdom will be given back to you. That's what that meant. This is important. The kingdom would be given back to the king after you come to know that heaven rules. You see, that was a lesson God wanted this king to learn. Heaven rules, and you only rule because God let you rule, right? Right? It's like this. Let's just say, let's see, Erica, let's just say that your mom and dad go on a motorcycle ride, okay? And let's just say that Denim and Perry are over at Geyer's house, okay? And so they say, Erica, you're in charge of Jovi. You're going to be in charge, okay? Now, how come you're in charge? Who let you be in charge? Your mom and dad, you see? And that's what God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to learn. He was only in charge because God let him be in charge, you see? Now, our president is in charge of our country, right? Who let him be in charge? God, you see? And if God decides it's time for President Trump to go, President Trump will no longer be in charge, right? Yes. Well, you see, that's a problem. We have to be on guard that we don't become proud. And remember who's really in charge, right? Okay, so let's move on. So then Daniel gave the king some very good advice. O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Turn away from your sins by being righteous. Turn away from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. You see, these were things that the king was not doing. He was not living righteously. He was doing bad things. He was not showing mercy to the poor. He was showing favoritism. He was treating different people with more respect, other people with less respect. He wasn't being a just king. And so God used Daniel to teach this very proud king about how he should rule his kingdom. By the way, here's what sin means. Sin means offenses against God and man, and iniquities means to choose wrong things that are bad. Do we do that sometimes? Do we sin? Do we sin sometimes? We don't want to, right? But do we? Do we think, say things that are wrong sometimes? We need to ask God to forgive us our sins, right? Confess those things to God. All right, so let's move on. So then, okay, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Oh, he had this wonderful dream and this lesson from Daniel, and what did he do? What did he do, Saraya? Yeah, he got proud. He forgot the lesson that Daniel had taught him. You see, Denham, that's why, even though we know a story from the Bible, like you do, we can forget, can't we? And then we can forget the lesson that God had for us. That's why we need to keep coming back to the Word of God. And the king forgot the lesson, and he began to talk proud. Oh boy, oh boy. And you know what happened? Yes, Tim. Yep, he sure did. Pride comes before a fall, right? He sure did. While the word was in his mouth, look at this. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice from heaven said, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has been taken away from you, and they shall drive you from men. And you will live with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. So, what happens when we're not listening to the message of God? If we're not listening to his warnings, what can happen? What can happen, Ellie? We can fall, just like the word of God says, right? Okay. And why was the king very foolish? Why was he foolish, do you think? What was the reason? He was what? Yep, he was still proud, even after that lesson. So that very hour was fulfilled, the word of the Lord was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers. That is pretty long. And his nails like bird claws. Can you imagine? And there he is out there eating grass. How shameful. Yep. Remember the verse from Proverbs? Pride brings shame. So, what can we learn about the king's punishment? What would you say? What can we learn from this? Yes. Yep. Be sure your sin will find you out, right? God knows what's in our heart, and he knows. And when God gives us a warning, we need to listen, don't we? When we read God's word and we see things that need correction, we need to pray to God and ask him to help us. All right, so let's read on. At the end of the time, 7 years passed, and there's Nebuchadnezzar out there eating grass with the animals. I suppose sometimes people would look out the castle and they'd see the king out there and they'd say, "Oh man, whatever happened to our king? Look at him. 7 years out there." And all of a sudden, the 7 years that God told would be the time, suddenly God visited the king. And it says, he said, I lifted my eyes and my understanding returned. His mind came back. And he blessed the Most High. And he praised and honored him who lives forever. And then he said, for he rules and his kingdom never ends. All the people of the earth are as nothing. God does according to his will in heaven and earth. No one can hold back his hand. Was he talking different now? Was he talking wisely or foolishly? Wisely. Did you want to say something? Because he lost his mind. He didn't even know he should do that. You see? But God gave him back his mind, Erica. And the king was learning a very valuable lesson. So at that same time, then the king said this. At that same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles returned to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. All these things were from God. God blessed the king again because he learned a lesson. You see, when we honor the Lord in our life, and when we give God glory, God blesses. He brings blessing to our life. And so this is a great thing to remember, is that blessings are from God. We don't want to separate ourselves from God, do we? We don't want to turn away from God's word, because with God there is great blessing. And then Nebuchadnezzar said this, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and lift up and honor the King of heaven, all of whose words are truth and his ways justice. And those who fall in pride, he is able to put down. Those are some very wise words. Jeremiah, the prophet, said this, I, the Lord, have given the kingdom to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field I have also given to him to serve him. So God regarded this proud king differently after he learned his lesson, didn't he? Now he called the king my servant. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Don't you want to be God's servant, all of you? Yeah, I do too. It's much better to serve than to be proud, isn't it? All right, that's the end. Let's pray. You've been very... We're all done. Yep. Father, we thank you for your word and the lessons in it for us. Give us a heart to receive your word, to hear you, to receive your warnings, and to correct our walk. And Lord, I pray that you keep us from pride and destruction and shame. And I just pray that we would bring glory to you that you deserve with our lips, with our actions in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Thanks, Michael.